When I was a youth minister, one of the things that we did a lot of is we played a lot, and I always enjoyed that part of youth ministry. And one of the things that I always had to plan were the big events. So I planned a lot of Disciple Nows and camps and different things like that. And it seemed like one of the things that students enjoyed more than any other were a lot of the inflatable, big inflatable slides and games that they can jump on and do different things. So, you know, different obstacle courses and then also jousting when they try to knock each other off a pedestal, different inflatable games that we could surround the kids with. They always enjoyed that. One of my favorites was the sumo wrestling. I don't know if you ever have seen that, where you actually put on a big kind of sumo outfit. It's you look like the Pillsbury Doughboy, and you put it on, and it Velcros in place, and you put a little helmet on to protect your head, and you walk out into the middle of this trampoline blow-up thing, and you ring, and you walk out, and you have to walk like this because it's so big, and you just sit there, and really the name of the game and really the goal that you're trying to do is just to knock the other person over. I mean, that's really what the goal is. I mean, how much more fun can you have than that, knocking somebody over? And so that was my favorite. I loved, not that I needed extra padding, but I had extra padding and we would put that on. There's something about putting on that extra padding that makes you work even harder to physically, you know, hit someone and have them fall over. Now, if it was just a little helmet or something like that, I'd be a little more timid. But you put that thing on me, and I'm like a crazy man. And so I'm just going to run at you, boom, and knock you off. And it's going to be great. We're going to laugh as you wipe off the blood. It's going to be great. And that's kind of how we did the sumo wrestling. Listen, it's very similar to our faith. It is one thing to go out in this world and live out our faith. And it can be very overwhelming. It can be very daunting as we fight this fight of faith, as we've been talking about over the last several weeks. As we go out and we live out our faith in front of this world, it can be very daunting because we are in a spiritual battle. But what allows us to fight in strength, what allows us to be, have courage and boldness in this battle, listen, it's the resources and the armor that we have on as believers. You know, it's one thing to walk out and to walk out without any kind of armor or weapons at our disposal. But it's a whole different ballgame when we as believers can walk out fully armed and ready to go with the resources and the armor that comes only through Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk this morning as we continue our series, Fight the Good Fight, to talk about these weapons that we have at our disposal. We're going to talk about the armor of God. So if you would open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, we're going to walk through over the next several weeks different pieces of the armor that we have at our disposal that we put on as believers, that hopefully it will bring great boldness and strength as we fight this fight daily. So we're going to talk through the armor of God. Again, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14 to start off, and then we're going to walk through the first piece of armor that we have to hold on to. And so if you would, and you're able, would you stand as we read God's word this morning? Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13. Here's what God's word says. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. And with that, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that's in your word. Holy Spirit, move and work in us, no matter where we are at this moment, work and move in us, transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Did you know that studies have been done on people telling the truth? I don't know if you've ever read any of those and what the world thinks about truth and telling the truth and things like that. One research that was done I thought was very interesting. It was done by University of Virginia and Texas A&M University. They came together and did a study. It said that this is one of the things that it said, the results was this, is that adults are said to be, they lie at least two times a day. Isn't that interesting? So of all the study they did, of all the people that they did this survey on, they realized that adults on average lie about two times a day. Now you take into consideration kids and students and think about the number of people that are not truthful. Matter of fact, you don't have to go very far. You can turn on the TV nowadays and there seems to be a lot of fake news out there and people that do not tell the truth. It seems in our world today, truth has become really an option that we don't necessarily have to do it. We don't have to speak the truth. We don't have to know the truth for many people. And so truth becomes just irrelevant many times in our society. One of the greatest stories that has ever been told that I believe about telling the truth is really one of Aesop's fables, talking about the boy who cried wolf. And I went back and reread the story of the boy who cried wolf. You know the story, hopefully, that there was a boy that was tending sheep for the town. And he was sitting there alone tending the sheep and was kind of bored. And so he just cried out, "Wolf, wolf, wolf." Well, the city comes out, the townspeople come out running to his rescue and to the rescue of the sheep. And when they come there, the boy begins to laugh as he looks at their angry faces. And he said, "There's no wolf. I was just kidding." And the townspeople go back. Well, sometime later, the boy was there again by himself and he cries out, "Wolf, wolf, wolf." And the townspeople come running out to his aid. And again, he starts to laugh and he says, that there is no wolf. I was just kidding. And then later on in the evening, a wolf actually shows up and he cries wolf out of fear and nobody came. And so later in the next day, nobody could find the little boy and some townspeople walked out to find the boy hiding up in a tree weeping because the sheep had scattered. And one of the men said, "What is wrong?" And he said, "Well, a wolf came in the night and no one came to rescue me." And one of the most telling parts of this story is that when someone is a liar, nobody even believes that liar, even when they're telling the truth. And that is a picture of our society today and the struggle that many people have. Is that when we live a life of deceitfulness, when we live a life that is filled with lies and we allow ourselves to stray away from the truth many times, is that even when we tell the truth, nobody will believe us. Amen. And so I want to just encourage you today as we begin talking about this first part of the armor, that it could be and is probably the most vital piece of armor that we can put on. That without this first piece, it is hard to do anything else with the other pieces of armor that we try to put on. And it's the truth of truthfulness. And so let's look at this. I want to walk through some thoughts on truthfulness and the truth that hopefully we can apply to our life and really make it applicable to our life today. But before we do that, I want to just kind of recap. And you might be thinking of some things also as we begin to talk about the idea of truthfulness or speaking truth, living in truth. But what is, let's go back and think of what does Satan try to do? What is his goal and what is his game plan? Over the weeks, we've talked about our plan. We talked about our commander. We talked about our enemy and his plan. I want to kind of recap some of the things that the devil will do, some of his plans and some of his schemes, things that he does in order to knock us off our game. What is his goal in trying to lead us astray? So what are some things that he is trying to do and trying to accomplish? One is this, he's trying to undermine God's character. So think about this battle that we're fighting. The devil is always constantly trying to undermine God's character. He's trying to make it hard to live as a Christian. That's one of the things that he is wanting to do in our life. He wants to make it hard to live as a Christian, to live out our faith. He'll do whatever it takes. One that I think is even more difficult to withstand is he tries to make it easy to live out the Christian faith. Now, we don't think about that very often, but Satan does a pretty good job of really dulling our minds and making us believe that life is easy and Christianity and being a Christian is easy by just picking and choosing maybe different verses that make us feel good out of Scripture. And so he's going to do whatever it takes to make the Christian life seem easy. He wants to confuse us. That's so important. So he's going to deceive and lie and do whatever it takes to confuse us. He wants to hinder our service. Whatever it takes to hinder our service to our community, to our world through Christ, he wants to hinder that. He also wants to cause division. He wants to cause division in the body of Christ. If he can break down the body of Christ and cause strife and division within this family, and not only this family, but our families at home, if he can cause division, he's done a pretty good job. He wants to make us worldly. His goal, his plan, he wants to make us like the world, to not be like Jesus. So that's a big part of what he does. And finally, one of the things he does, he wants us to act in disobedience. So he's going to put before us things that would cause us to be to live in a way that is not obedient to what God has called us to do. So let's think again, thinking back on what his goals are. It puts into a better perspective the importance of truth. And so when we look at this opening scripture that just says, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, we see the schemes and we see the goals of the devil, and we recognize the importance of truth in our lives and every facet of that. So let's talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about why we need to put on truth. We see what the devil's schemes are, his plans are. Why do we feel it is necessary? Why do we need to put on truth? Well, let's go back to our passage real quick. If you don't have your Bibles open, go ahead and open it back up. And it says this, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So why is it important for us to put on this belt of truth, to fasten this belt of truth? Matter of fact, maybe your version is a little different, which I love, the King James Version. Maybe yours says this, but I think it's even more powerful. And it says, "There, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." I love the imagery of that, and I'll explain that in just a little bit. But when we talk about why we are to have truth and live in truth in our lives, it is first and foremost to stand. And I want you to kind of write that in your notes. If you have a pen, we're called to stand. It's not on your notes, but maybe even circle it in your Bible. But we are called to stand. Why is it important to have truth? Why is it important to fasten the belt of truth? It is to stand. We have to stand against those schemes and stand against the plans that Satan throws out at us. And so we look at this importance of standing. Well, Paul loves to use imagery. He loves to use the picture of the idea of this belt of truth. And let's talk about that just a little bit before we move on to some specifics about why it's important to live in truth. So, you know, you think about the a Roman soldier. Now, in order for the Roman soldier to do battle, you know, they did not have clothes like we wear. You know, we could put on some shorts or something like that. We're able to run really fast and do what we need to do. But for the Roman soldier, what they had was the tunic. They had the almost like a robe that would just go over their whole body. It just had places for their arms and for their head. It would be over. It was long and it was flowing freely. Now, if you're going into battle, or if you're needing to run or maneuver in any specific way, that's almost impossible to do when you have this long, flowing kind of tunic that is around you. And so one of the first things that a soldier would have to do is he would have to kind of gather up that tunic and kind of bring it up and either tie it in a knot. But for the soldier, they would put some kind of leather belt around and pull that tunic up through it, kind of bringing up that tunic to really girding up the loin. That's what that means, to bring it up and to tie it through the belt so that they're able to be free and be able to run or be able to fight. This is not just for the Roman soldier, but for the citizen at the time. That would help them walk their journey and be able to go where they needed to go. They would bring that up, and they would cinch it up in that belt. Now, with that came other parts. So with the belt, they would have maybe another, the soldier would have another piece of leather that would come down from the back to the front. And within that, they were able to put their sword in and different parts of that. And we'll talk about the sword later on. But the belt was essential. The belt was the beginning piece of all that they needed to do. Listen, they could not start their journey and complete their journey without the belt. It was vital in their life in order for them to fight the way they needed to fight. It was vital in their life in order to achieve the goal that they needed to achieve. So let's put this and relate it back to truth. So when Paul says to put on the belt of truth, to gird your loins, this truth in your life, what he's saying is this: we have to be prepared. That this is the first step in preparing and being ready to fight the good fight. That if we're going to walk out and step out in this journey of faith and do battle with the devil on a daily basis, which we do, listen, we're not guaranteed an easy life, but we are guaranteed that we're going to be doing battle, spiritual battle, pretty much daily as Satan does a work in this world. And so we need to be ready and prepared. The first thing that we put on is truth. And I want to encourage you today, as you think about truth, recognize how important it is to put that on as the very beginning piece in your life. So let's look at some other things. So why is it important for us to have this truth? Why is it important for us to be ready and prepared? One is this: truth is essential for salvation. Truth is essential for salvation. John 18 says this, starting in verse 37. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Can I just share with you, if you don't know truth, then listen, salvation is distant from you. Because truth is Jesus. And so when we talk about how essential truth is, the first thing is this: it is essential to salvation. It's essential to salvation. Now, what does that mean? Why is that so important? Because listen, in our world today, there are people that are going to give you all kinds of different ideas and thoughts. There are going to be people that tell you all different kinds of opinions and understandings of the ways of the world. And if we're not careful, it's going to take us away from what is most important. It's going to take us away from what is biblically accurate. Think about in our world today, all the different views of who God is or who God isn't. Think about all the views of who Jesus is and or who Jesus isn't. Think about all the views that we see. We just turn on the TV and we can see all the views of what it means to be saved. Can I just say, in order for us to experience life and life everlasting with Jesus, we have to know truth. I heard a story once about Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln just simply asked a question. He said to one of his colleagues, "How many legs would a sheep have if it called his tail a leg?" And his colleague promptly answered, "Well, 5. "No," said Lincoln, "it would not. It would have only 4. Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it 1. You know, for us, we have to know truth. There's all kinds of people out there that are going to be telling you that a tail is a leg. But we have to be grounded enough to say, no, a leg is a leg. Listen, it's important that as we put on this belt of truth is understanding that truth is essential for salvation. Truth is essential for salvation. But not only that, listen, truth is also essential for separation. It's essential for separation. Listen to what Scripture says. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's talk and think about this idea of free. Well, when I say truth is essential for separation, it means this, is that no longer are we like the world. If we live in truth, if we abide by truth, if we hold on to the truth, truth of God's word, truthfulness in our life, we are separate than the world. We are free to live out our faith. We're not held bondage by the schemes of Satan and the plans of the devil. Listen, we are free. John 17:70 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. This idea of sanctification is really what we're looking at. We talk about sanctification. It's this ongoing process of Jesus changing us and molding us into who he wants us to be. When we talk about holiness and becoming holy, listen, this is the sanctification. This is the separation from the world. And so truth is essential as we become different than the world. And we are called to be different. I think it's incredible that when Jesus says, you know, that we read in Scripture, be holy, be separate, come out. Listen, it's not just, those aren't just empty words. We are called to be holy, called to be separate, and we have the tools to do that, and it's truth. When we rely and live not just in the truth of God's word, but just truthfulness, we are different and separate from the world. So truth is essential for separation. But also truth is essential for solidarity. Truth is essential for solidarity. And what does that mean? Listen, what I love about being a believer is the family of God. Christians coming together to fight this fight together. Christians walking side by side, sometimes hand in hand, lifting up the gospel for all to see and to hear. Listen, truth is essential for solidarity. Well, what does that mean? It means this, is that when untruth comes into the body of Christ, there is division. When lies begin to seep into the body of Christ and to the church, division begins to happen. We look at Ephesians and says, going back to Ephesians, it says this in verses 15 and 16, rather speaking the truth in love, we're going to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. But can I tell you, see, that's the picture of solidarity. That's the picture of unity within the body of Christ, serving and working together. But how does it start? How does that verse start? Speaking the truth in love. Listen, without truth, there's no unity. Without truth, there is no foundational unity within the body of Christ. And so truth is essential when it comes to unity and solidarity and fellowship within the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. You see, truth is essential. If we're going to have a thriving fellowship, a thriving church, a thriving church universal, it has to be grounded in truth. And this makes it even more important to be vigilant as the body of Christ, knowing that truth is that vital, to keep our eyes open for all the lies that circle around, all the lies that are around. I read another story about a courtroom, a court hearing, and one of the lawyers got up and was giving his closing arguments and is very persuasive and eloquent. And after he was done, the judge looks at him and goes, "Right, right." Well, the other lawyer stands up and he gives his, and he says, he's very eloquent and very very informative, and he passionately gives his. And after he was done, the judge looks at him and says, "Right, right." Well, the court clerk stands up and says, "Judge, both of them can't be right." And the judge looks at the clerk and says, "Right, right." You know, if we're not careful, our church will be filled with people that are saying, "Right, right," without it giving any heed to truth. We allow things to creep into our body of Christ, into the church and Church Universal, and we just go along with it blindly. Because what we do is we focus in on that love and forget truth. Can I tell you, it goes hand in hand. We work together and serve together and live together and speak together in truth and love. That we never give that out of whack. So that is some of the reasons why truth is important. Let's look at this. How do we put on truth? Let's get practical here and understanding that truth is important, essential, vital in our faith. So how do we put on the truth? How do we put on that belt of truth in our life? Well, one is this: trust in Him who is truth. If you want to allow truth to be the belt that you put on, that makes you ready for battle, that keeps you ready for this fight that we fight every day, then trust in the one who is truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 1:14 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So where do we find truth? Jesus. And so who do we trust in? Jesus. Because Jesus is truth. And so if we find ourselves lagging behind in truth in our life, if we are starting to find ourselves swaying to the waves of the culture, can I just encourage you today is to trust in the one who is truth. Listen, there is all kinds of ideas out there. There are all kinds of speculation and thoughts that float around, getting more and more distant from God's word. But can I just say, lean in and trust in the one who is truth. I always ask when someone comes to my door, or if I have a chance to talk to somebody that's from a different religion that will come and talk about the tenets of their faith, I always ask them, "Well, what do you do with Jesus?" That's what I always come back to. I mean, they sound very persuasive, and it sounds very nice, and it just seems so eloquently put together and tied up with a nice bow and presented to people door to door many times as people are hearing this. I just come back and I say, "Yeah, but what do you do with Jesus?" Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." What do you do with Jesus? And I want you to live your life in that way. I want you to live your life as lies are swirling around. Come back to Jesus. Look to Jesus because He is truth. Truth is found in relationship with Him. If you have questions or doubts, come back to Jesus because He is truth. Trust in the one who is truth. But also this, put up a guard against ungodly things. If we're going to live in truth on a daily basis, then you need to put up guard against those things that are ungodly. Now, this is something that we sometimes forget in a day and time where grace is proclaimed loudly, which I'm thankful for. We're saved by grace. Many times we think our job ends at salvation. Can I just say it just begins as we work out our salvation? Now, we're saved by grace. That doesn't change. It's a free gift of God, as Ephesians tells us. But listen, we are called to live for Him. We are called to be obedient. And a part of that obedience is saying no to things that are ungodly, to turn away from things that can drag us away, that can pull us away from the truth. And so I want to encourage you today to guard against those things that are ungodly. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Protect yourself. Guard against things that are ungodly. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Listen, why does Paul talk about thinking of things that are truthful and thinking of things that are honorable? Because he wants us to guard against those things that are ungodly. You know, I'm convinced now more than ever that our world needs to see a church filled with integrity. More than ever, they need to see believers that stand up strong on what is right. Not just what is popular, but what is right. Listen, truth allows us to stand strong on what is right. But here's the good news, is that when we stand upon truth, it is right and it is good and it is strong. But we have to be willing to take that step of obedience, even in the midst of a storm that may come our way, even in the midst of hard, difficult times, we stand upon what is godly. And so I want to encourage you today, if you are surrounded by things that are pulling you away, surrounded by things that are tempting you as the devil pours out his fight against you, guard. Guard yourself against those things that are ungodly. I think we all have things in our life that all start kind of rolling around in our mind. There are things that are evident that are ungodly. And maybe today those are things that you struggle with on a daily basis. I want to encourage you, guard yourself against those things. Maybe it means changing how you live, changing your environment. Maybe it means changing who you are with as far as friends. Listen, changing direction of your life in some way, and maybe it's a job, but it keeps you from drifting into the ungodly. But for most of us as believers, it's not just the things that are evidently and overtly ungodly. It's the things that are not bad, but just not God's best. And so for us, those things are keeping us away from what God has for us. It's causing us to drift into areas of untruth that cause people to go astray. And we have to be careful and intentional and diligent and guarding against all things that are ungodly, all things that are taking us away from the truth of who Jesus is. So guard yourself. Put up a huge guard against things that are ungodly. And last thing is this: grab hold of the whole counsel of God. How do we allow truth to be evident in our life? Grab hold of the whole counsel of God. And here's what I mean by this. Listen, in Acts 20:27, it says this: for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Think about the disciples. Think about Paul preaching to those that are in high positions, those that would take their life, yet they did not resist. They did not step back from giving them the whole of God's word. How tempting is it for us to take bits and pieces of God's word in our life? How tempting is it to take the things that make us feel good, take the things that make everything seem better, to take just pieces of God's word in our life, to smooth out our life and our culture? Listen, it is so easy and tempting to take parts of God's word into our life. Can I just say, if you want truth to be that belt around you that allows you to fight courageously and boldly, then take on the whole counsel of God. Take it all, not just a piece of it, not just part of it, but all of God's word. You know, one of the things that I was sitting with the family of Miss Joanne Mosley, and one of the things they said to me right off the bat, they just were talking, they said, Craig, one of the things that we loved about our mom is that she read the Bible over and over and over again, front to back. She read the Bible. She knew God's word. She loved it, and she read it from beginning to end. You know, many times it's so tempting for us to just pick and choose what is important and what we need. And that's not necessarily bad if we're doing devotions and things like that, but can I just encourage you, take it all in. If you haven't had the chance, take all of God's word and allow the whole counsel of God to be real in your life from beginning to end. Because you know what? There are some things in God's word that are pretty uncomfortable for us, and that's okay. There are things in God's word that are difficult for us, and that's okay because it's God's word. And in that, it is truth that we stand upon. You cannot fight in truth if you don't take in all of the truth. And so can I just encourage you today? Grab hold of the whole counsel of God. 2 Timothy 3 says this: all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So what does the whole counsel of God do? It sharpens us. It shows us where we're false and out of tune with God. It shows us where we're weak. It shows all the things about us and all the things about who God is. And so may we take all the counsel of God, because it is powerful. You see, this fight that we fight is not without the resources that we need. We're not just walking out without anything. Listen, God knows what we need, and so we have the armor of God at our disposal. But it's going to take what the scripture says to take up the armor of God. Think about all that God has for us. It's going to take you being intentional and stepping into what God has for you and allowing the armor of God to be real in your life. Allow God to be the one that directs you and leads you as you obediently follow Him. Listen, it is important that we put on the full armor of God, and it starts with the belt of truth. And so this morning, I want you just to ask yourself, do you know the truth? Do you know the truth, and has it set you free, as Scripture tells us? Are you standing upon the truth of Jesus in your life, or have you stepped into something that is a little more culturally sensitive? Can I just encourage you today, stay strong and hold on to the truth of Jesus. Would you bow your heads? Father, we love you. Thank you for being truth. We thank you that we can lean in on you and trust in you, because Father, with all the things that are in this world, we know you are truth. And so, Father, speak to our hearts today. Move and work in us this morning. And maybe there's something in our life. Maybe the devil has done a good work, and maybe we have drifted a little bit away from all the truth, and we've allowed little things to seep into our life that seem good, just not biblical. Maybe we have given in to the pressure of this world and culture and have wandered away from you and from your word. I pray that we would stand strong on the truth, not just the easy truth, but all truth. And in the end, God, we know it's all good because it's yours. So, Father, reveal to us now maybe where we have missed it, maybe where we have strayed, and may we turn and follow you again. May we just lay it at your feet and just say, God, forgive us. Renew a passion. Restore me into where you want me to be, God. Work in my life today. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.